Many years ago, there was a fellow by the name of Augustine. Later in his life, he became a great doctor of philosophy, a doctor of theology, and was even canonized a saint. However, in the early years of his existence, he wasn't such a saintly person. In fact, he was a real character. He used to do everything under the sun that he knew was wrong. In his autobiography, he says that he used to commit sin just for the sake of sin. If it wasn't wrong, he wouldn't do it. Well, anyhow, he leaves us one statement, which has a lot of wisdom to it. And that statement is, "Let us therefore admit our imperfections, and then only can we begin to grow towards perfection." Now, this idea of imperfection in human nature is a pet idea of mine. And the reason is because I was raised as a child with a lot of idols in life. In other words, I used to look up to people. I used to think that my mother and father were very saintly people, my uncles and aunts, and my sisters and brothers and so forth. And then I found out differently. And so I give this idea the title, "The Myth of Perfection." And that simply means that there are no such thing in life as perfect people. No one is perfect. Now, I believe all of us used to think that many people in life were perfect. For example, our parents. They were the acme of perfection, and then we found out some of their faults and failings. And frustration number one. Then later on in life, you fell in love. And the lady of your dreams, she was perfect. Remember? You thought so much of her that you felt you could eat her up. And then you married her. And wished you had. And the gals, too, met their man of their dreams, and they thought so much of him that they felt they could eat him up, too. And they married him, wished they had, too. The myth of perfection. Then in various professions, I remember in my own circumstances, I looked upon a priest as something little more than human. I never felt or never thought or never stopped to analyze that a priest also is human, just as you and I. The same with any of the professions, whether they be a doctor's or psychiatrists, or priests, or ministers, or attorneys, it doesn't make any difference. They are nothing but human beings. Then our children. How many mothers and fathers saw in their children that perfection which we have always dreamed of? My child, isn't he a perfect little child? Then one day the policeman came home with John, our John, another frustration. Then ourselves, that's one idea we had a very difficult time giving up. Even though we finally realized that everybody else was imperfect, we were perfect. Behold the alcoholic perfectionist. The guy or the gal who stands before the mirror and looks at that mirror, isn't he the perfect person? Or isn't she the perfect gal? And then he invites the guy in the mirror out for a drink. Of course, in recent weeks, we have even found out that TV isn't as perfect as we thought. You know, if there's ever anything that bears out this theory of mind that all human beings are human beings filled with faults, it's these hearings we're reading about in Washington. When those men whom some of the people, at least in our land, held up as idols and ideals and perfectionists, we found the myth of perfection. Now, what is the motive behind this idea of perfection? This idea that seems to goad us on to perfection before it can be accomplished, or to put perfection in the other person where we will never find it. It's pride. Pride says, I am perfect. Pride says, mine are perfect. But humility says, God will perfect both mine and me in His own time and in His own way. Yes, God says, be ye perfect. But He doesn't say, be ye perfect overnight. You know, I think a lot of alcoholics were very good people in the beginning and wanted to do what was right. In fact, I think a lot of alcoholics decided to be saints somewhere along the line. And then night came, no sanctity, so they said, to heck with it, give me a drink. Takes too long. The big AA book itself says, we are not saints, we grow along spiritual lines. In other words, we grow towards perfection, and growth takes time. It takes a lot of nurturing. It takes a lot of working with and along in order to reach perfection. The problem of alcoholism itself is not realized in the world. It is not accepted for what it is by men in higher ranks because of the myth of perfection. What do we hear all over? An alcoholic in our family? Oh, my goodness, no. Oh, anything but an alcoholic. My child an alcoholic? Oh, no. Couldn't be. The myth of perfection. An alcoholic in our profession? A doctor an alcoholic? A priest an alcoholic? You name it. He could be an alcoholic. Because no matter who he is, he underneath that external appearance is an ordinary human being with faults and weaknesses that he or she will have to bear with until the day we're dead, or perhaps 2 days after we're dead, I don't know. I used to make quite a few 12-step calls. I never had any luck. No one I ever called on stayed sober. I don't know why, and I care less. Because I've learned in AA that ours is only the footwork. If the one you call on stays sober, that's God to be thanked. If he doesn't stay sober, I should not condemn myself. There was one fellow, 75 years old, came to the rectory one time. And I became his sponsor, and he stayed sober for about 8 years, and I really thought I had one. And all of a sudden, I got word he was drinking. So I was talking to one of the members of AA, and I said, hey, did you hear? Bob's drinking. He says, oh, he is? I said, yeah, the poor fella, 83 years old, and he's drinking. I said, I'm going out to see him. And you know what the guy told me? He says, look, let me tell you something. If I start drinking when I'm 83 years old, for John's sakes, let me alone. Then when we come down to ourselves, me an alcoholic, remember? Oh no, I couldn't be an alcoholic. I'm above that. I'm perfect. If you don't believe me, ask me. The myth of perfection. And then we came to AA. And in AA we learned that we are not perfect. We are far from perfect. We have many character defects. We have many weaknesses, many faults, and we don't expect to get rid of them overnight. What was one of the first things we hear when we come to AA? Look, take it easy. You didn't get this way overnight. You're not going to change overnight. And so therefore, we learn that we aim at perfection. But we await the grace of God, and in His time and in His way, we know God will use us and perfect us if He chooses. You know, a lot of the groups throughout the world have a little inventory and has listed there all the faults and all the good points. And the name on this little inventory is, How Am I Doing? And I maintain that's dangerous. Why? Well, if I ask myself, how am I doing? And I find I'm doing pretty good, right away I'm going to pat myself on the back. And then if I find I'm not doing so well, immediately I'm going to get full of self-pity.
Oh, poor me, what's the matter? I'm not even a good alcoholic.
So I quit trying. Whereas if I simply ask myself, how am I trying? What's my aim today? Is it still on God and His will? That's all that's necessary. How fast and how far we go in this matter of adjustment to life, and in this matter of growth in the spiritual life, depends 99% on Almighty God. Only 1% on us, and that's our goodwill. Now let's take this idea that there's no one perfect, and that one of the biggest mistaken ideas today is that conviction that there are people who are perfect, including me, and see how that works out in our everyday living. You know, one of the most difficult things to accept in adjustment to life is the acceptance of our faults. Oh, so many innumerable people come and say, look, Father, I've been in AA now 10 years and I've tried and I still have the same faults that I had before. What's the matter with me? Nothing's the matter. We must accept that fact. That's the biggest job in adjustment. Accepting our shortcomings. Yes, working on them. But accepting our failures. After all, success is easy to accept. But it takes real courage. And it takes goodwill of the finest kind to accept our failures, our faults, our shortcomings, our defects of character. Now let's take in our home life. The idea in our home that others are perfect. That only can lead to disappointment, to frustration. For example, as I said, the man marries the woman whom he thinks is perfect. And then as they live so intimately together, he finds out she's far from perfect. Now, unless we understand this and accept it, there's going to be frustration, resentment, self-pity. There's going to be all kinds of difficulties. Accepting not only my own faults, but my wife or my husband is adjustment to reality of living. After all, if a person comes to me and says, Father, what can I do to change my wife? There's only one answer. Nothing. No one can change the other, but we all can work on ourselves and accept the other. But that includes accepting ourselves and realizing that neither he nor she is perfect. And added to that also is a realization that neither is my child perfect. And oh, how many hearts are broken when the mother or the father has raised the child And it's the idea, he is the perfect little gentleman. Isn't she a lovely little girl? And as I said a while ago, the day comes when John shows up, John Jr., at the door with a policeman on his arm. No one is perfect. How many fathers and mothers hold up ideals to the child that they can never possibly accomplish? No wonder the child is discouraged. No wonder the children are disgruntled. Take, for example, one thing you hear very frequently. The mother or the father will say to the child, after they've had a little argument, a little fight, you know, they do have those things in families. And the mother or the father will say, why don't you be like the Jones boys? You never see them fighting. Of course you don't. They pull the blinds when they fight. Then putting ourselves on a pedestal to our children is a dangerous pastime. We are not paragons of virtue. And the child is looking for a human person to confide in, not one that he has to look up to and can't reach even if he stands on a high chair. And how many mothers or fathers make the mistake by putting themselves in a position towards which the child falters quickly if it ever tries to accomplish the feats and the virtues which the mother and the father try to teach the child that is part and parcel of their own living. Then in our social life, how much easier it is to get along with our fellow man if we begin with the realization that he is not perfect, I am not perfect. We will quit ascribing malicious motives to people, which we do so easily now. Somebody does something, right away, we ascribe a malicious motive. Whereas if we would realize and accept the fact, well, after all, he is a human being, or she is a human being. How much more quickly would we help others if we would realize this factor, that we're all fault-filled human beings trying the best that we can to stumble along this highway of life, and even at its best, is difficult. Somebody sent me a card the other day, and it said, in these days of fast living and pressure, it takes nerves of steel even to be a neurotic. This realization of the admitting of our own imperfections and imperfections of others brings about what I call the interdependency of human being. One of the greatest necessities for true social living, each one with his neighbor. You know, after all, we have the saying that the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. But we also could add to that, that the cross on the other side of the fence always looks much lighter than our own cross. And our greatest cross in life are those daily weaknesses, those daily failures, those daily little things that God permits to remain to keep us humble if we only have the honesty to admit and accept them. Then in business, we would be much more successful in business if we would start with the conviction we are not the world's best businessman. And then when need comes, we would seek help. And we would realize that although we have been in this business or that business 5, 10, 30 years, there's an awful lot that we don't know. Because we're still human. And our minds are included in that humanity. And in those minds of ours, there are imperfections, and always will be. I think the honest person, the longer he is dealing with a certain type of business or subject, the more he realizes that he does not know about it. I think anyone who's been in AA long enough fully realizes, if he's honest, that the more you know about alcoholism, the more you realize how much there is yet to know about it. Then we would be more open-minded in our business. How many white elephants do we not have throughout the world? Now, for those who may not know what I mean a white elephant is a business or a building or something that has been built by someone who thought he knew the answers but didn't. He thought he was the best architect in the world, but he wasn't. And so he built a building, and it's a white elephant because of the pride in his own ability. The myth of perfection. Then in our financial affairs, because of this idea of perfection, gives us the idea of making a million overnight. And, particularly the alcoholic, he's not going to make $1,000 ever so often. He can make a million. If he makes a million, I think he would want to make a billion. You know, speaking of million and billion, they tell the story of a scientist who was giving a talk at one of the universities, and he made the remark that in 7 billion years, the world would come to an end suddenly. And just then, a student in the back of the hall jumped up and he said, "Just a minute, did you say million or billion?" And the scientist said, "I said billion." "Oh," the student said, "thank God, I thought you said a million." This idea of imperfection would keep us away from being too self-sufficient, too smug. You know what I mean? How many AAs slip because of what we call smugness? "I don't need AA anymore. I've got it all now." And it isn't long till they do. Or try to get it all. Also financially, the man who realizes the myth of perfection would provide prudently for the future. Realizing, "I'm not perfect, I won't be perfect, therefore there's going to come a time as I grow older when I'm going to be in need. So I'm not going to take a chance of accidentally finding that, and particularly I'm not going to get the idea that I will be able to work until, as some people say, I drop." He'll drop many years before he has to say goodbye to this world. And that will make us provide prudently for the future. Then in our emotional life, the same as I indicated in passing about the spiritual life, so many people will come and say, "Look, I've been trying for years and I still get upset, I still get nervous, I still get jittery. What's the matter?" Well, what do you expect? You're still a human being. You know, the funny thing is the older we get, the easier irritation creeps in. This idea of perfection, the difficulty with it, that it puts the idea in our minds that as we grow older, we will be naturally better. Huh? It don't work that way. The nerves become a little more irritable. The movement of the body becomes a little more creaky. And the movement of the heart and the muscles and what have you. Because not only are we not perfect, but we become less and less perfect as we go along in life and get old. Then our emotional upsets too come a lot of times from mental upsets, and we never have full control of our mental faculties, believe it or not. That's the reason, you know, so many alcoholics, and not only alcoholics, but so many people today begin taking sedatives, because they're looking for that perfect no pain plateau, you know, as they used to look with the alcohol. And so that's gone. So perhaps this little pill, "Oh, boy, you feel wonderful." You feel perfect. Whereas that is not part and parcel of reality in living. Then in the physical life, if we realize this myth of perfection, we would not start out and try to be He-Man, as the magazines advertise, you know. Why do you think so many of these magazines make a living? If it isn't this idea of putting before this little 90-pound guy the idea that he can be a great big He-Man, you know. Have big muscles, you know. Like Mr. So-and-so, the champion of the world. Muscle builder. They sell them by the carloads. All the medical claptrap that we see in many of the journals and the magazines and the newspapers is built on this myth of perfection. Millions of pills are sold every year because they are giving the idea this will lead you to that plateau when you physically and emotionally and mentally will feel perfect. We are never free, on the other hand, and we never will be free from aches and pains. And as I mentioned a while ago, they become more frequent each year, as many of you know without me telling you. They tell us that we should grow old gracefully. And actually, that simply means to grow old accepting these things as part and parcel of the process of growing old. Instead of running away from every pain, from every ache, from every emotional upset. Then in our thought life, so many people get the idea that we should be able to come to a point in life when we can concentrate and have no distractions at all. How ridiculous. Take, for example, there are many men and women in this world who join convents or monasteries. And therein they pray and they meditate year in and year out. But they will tell you that although they have prayed and prayed and meditated for years, they still have distractions. So many come and say, Father, you know, I've been praying and trying to meditate now for years, and every time I sit down or kneel down to pray or meditate, my mind's filled with everything but prayer. Well, what do you expect? What do you expect? That's part and parcel of that human nature, which is part and parcel of you. You know, this idea of distractions, which seems to be such a worry to so many people. They tell the story one time about St. Francis. Now, I don't know whether this happened to St. Francis, but he is as good as anyone to tell it about. But anyhow, the story says that Francis was riding down the road one day on horseback with one of his brothers from the monastery. And as they were riding along, the brother stopped and said, Father Francis, he said, you know, I am really reaching perfection in prayer. Francis says, oh, you are? Yes, Father Francis, he said. He said, I have come to the point where in meditation I can meditate for hours and hours and hours with not one distraction. Father Francis said, you can? Yes, Father Francis, I can. Well, Father Francis says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'll bet you my horse against your horse that you cannot say the Lord's Prayer without distraction. Why, Father Francis, he said, I can do that. Why, that's very easy. Okay, Father Francis said, let's try it. So they stopped and they began. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Just then the brother said, does the bridle go with it? Then the same thing we can say about bad thoughts, uncharitable thoughts, dirty thoughts. Of course, some people say, well, I'm not ever bothered with dirty thoughts. In fact, I love them. The fact that we like or dislike a certain person many times is based on that inherent fault of human nature, of polar attraction and repulsion. There are some people we just can't like. Of course, we can love them, but we don't have to like them. That's the reason you'll meet somebody, you're attracted to them. You'll meet somebody else, boy, isn't he a son of a gun. We just can't like them. That's natural. That's part and parcel of that fallen human nature of ours. Forgetfulness. How many people say, what's the matter? I'm getting so forgetful. You're not getting forgetful. You're just sober enough to know it. Then in our spiritual life, we grow along spiritual lines, slowly. Growth takes time. The seed is put into the ground, and it takes days and weeks and months before the little sprout. And then it has to grow, and then the blossoms, and then the fruit, and around the cycle again. Growth takes time. Heroic sanctity is a gift of God given rarely to a few individuals in this world. It is not meant for the average person in life. We can try. We can aim. We can grow. But the progress or the lack of progress, that's entirely up to Almighty God. Because the only thing that will substitute for these weaknesses, these faults, these failings, these defects of character is the grace of God, the power of God. Then in our AA life, I believe that many AA individuals still have the idea of perfection. How many times did you hear someone say, he slipped? Oh, why, he couldn't slip, not him. Why couldn't he? If we realize this idea of imperfection and the necessity of accepting that as part and parcel of life, then we should never be surprised, no matter who slips, including ourselves. We could. We're not above it. Of course, I'll guarantee you this. No one ever slipped off the program. There's lots of guys and gals got off the program first and then slipped. And imperfections will not cause a slip. So therefore, in AA, our whole attitude, if we want adjustment to life, should be there is no one perfect in life. Not even I. And as we grow along life's path, we will still be burdened with many imperfections, many failings, many failures, many mental upsets, many emotional upsets, all types of difficulties. But the solution to adjusting to life and to these circumstances of life lies in the fact are in the acceptance of these things as part and parcel of living. And that the most difficult thing for every human in this process of adjustment to life and adjustment to reality is to accept ourselves as we are. You know, the saints were never surprised when they failed. They weren't even surprised when they sinned. They were always amazed they weren't worse. Now, if we analyze that little human being which we call me or you or us, we will find out that it is amazing that we're not worse. We're born with these tendencies to jealousy, to laziness, to all types of imperfection. So if we would find perfection, we would be amazed. And it will only be found when it is directly nurtured by the grace of Almighty God. So in my own humble opinion, I believe that the solution, and I believe it's one of the most basic of all the solutions of the adjustment to reality and to living, is the endeavor day in and day out, hour in and hour out, and if necessary, minute in and minute out, to accept ourselves as we are. Accept ourselves as people with talent, ability, and also as people with many, many faults and failings. Continually trying to do better, but never concerned if we don't do better. Never worried that we aren't better, but rather surprised that we're not worse. And as I look over this audience tonight, and I include myself in that statement, I am amazed, knowing my past, and got a little idea about some of your past, I'm amazed that all of us aren't much, much worse. May God bless you, and may God love you all. Thanks for listening.